Half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Jerry Savinsky. It was presented in October of 2006. The title of the message, How to Handle Temptation.
Would you all look in your Bible, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Look at me, please. There was a source of our Lord's temptation. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Zechariah 3:1, and it shall be Joshua, the high priest, standing for the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. Luke 22:31, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Would you please observe, the devil tries to devour, resist, hinder, and sift every child of God. So there's a source of all of our temptations. As Christ was tempted of the devil, we are tempted by the unseen powers of darkness. But now look in verse 2, please. Look at the timing of this temptation. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Now look at me. I always get a chuckle out of verse 2. I'm not being sacrilegious. But I guess I'd be in hunger too if I had no food in my body for 40 days and 40 nights. What about you people? Most of you cannot go 4 hours without eating. Can you imagine having no food in your body 40 days and 40 nights? Now here's a great truth. The devil will always tempt you when you are at your weakest. Christ had no food in his body 40 days and 40 nights. Therefore, he tempted Christ when he thought Christ was at his weakest points. And he'll do the same in your life as well. Now, I'm going to show you on your PowerPoint in a moment the first area of how the devil tempts us. Because his plan has never changed through the ages. And I want to show you from verse 3, first of all. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, the first area of temptation is the lust of the flesh. And that last word, sensual, is very crucial. Now, let's say you had no food in your body 40 days and 40 nights, and I'm the first one to meet you in church, okay? And I walk up to you and say, hey, would you like to go roller skating with me? You say, Brother Jerry, I don't think I can stand up on the roller skates. If I say, hey, would you want to go bowling with me? You say, Brother Jerry, I don't believe I could hold the bowling ball in my hand. However, if I had a loaf of homemade bread, cut West Virginia style, about that thick, smeared with homemade butter, and I said to you, would you like to have some bread? That'd be the most effective way of tempting you, correct? You see, there's all kind of appetites within these bodies of ours. To the young people, the devil says, everyone's trying drugs. Why don't you try drugs? Everyone's involved in pornography. Why don't you get involved in pornography? Hey, young married couples, everyone is cheating on each other. Why don't you have an extramarital affair? Hey, businessman, everyone's cheating on the business and their business ethics. Why don't you just kind of change your ethics? There's all these temptations. The list is too long. I can't go through the whole list. But I tell you, there's all kind of cravings. There's all kind of appetites in this body. And the devil turned to Christ and said, if you're God's son, take a stone, make it bread. For what reason? Satisfy the craving of your body. And he'll do the same to you as a child of God. And when the devil tempted Christ, look in verse 4, what Jesus did. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look here, that's a direct quotation from the book of Deuteronomy. And when the devil tempted Christ, the Word of God says he came right back and used the authority of the Word of God to combat the temptation. Now, when Jesus did not give in, did the devil say, okay, Christ, I'll leave you alone and walk off and leave Christ alone? No, just like he'll not walk off and leave you alone. Therefore, I want to show you the second area of temptation. Look at verse 5 and 6. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Look here, please. The second area of temptation is the lust of the eyes. And that one word at the end, sensational, is very significant. If I were to describe this time in which you and I are living, I would describe the time in which you and I live by these words. Hey, this is fantastic. Man, this is ultimate. Man, this is super. Hey, it is cool, man. Those are the words that describe the age in which you and I are now living. Many years ago, I got three boys, when they were real small, two of them when they're about this tall, I promised them I would take them to Circus World down in Florida. Their names are Todd and Brent. And I had Todd and Brent by the hand, and I got to Circus World. The first thing they said to me is, they said, Daddy, would you take us on the roller coaster? I said, guys, you don't want to go on the roller coaster. They said, but Daddy, we want to go on the roller coaster. I said, guys, I told you, you don't want to go on the roller coaster. They said, Daddy, are you chicken? I said, boys, buck, 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 buck. I did not want to go on the roller coaster. Whoever designed the roller coaster ought to be shot. That thing dropped 65 miles an hour. I'm going on these gyrations. And when that thing stopped in my heart, I said, thank the Lord, this is over with. When my son Brent looked at me and said, Daddy, can we go around again, huh? And so I went twice around the thing, and when I got off, I was walking like this. Yeah. Have you ever heard the story of the two cross-eyed guys who walking down the street, and they came to a corner, and they, when they came to the corner, they knocked each other over, and one jumped up and said, why don't you watch where you're going? And the other cross-eyed guy said, why don't you go where you are watching? And that's the way I felt, man. And my boys came by the hand, and they took me, and they dragged me off of the roller coaster, and they put me on the rockets. Now, let me describe the rocket to you. There's this outer wheel like this, going around real slow. There's a big, long arm with a rocket on the end, so you got this motion like this, and the rocket is going like this. You got these two motions. Then someone put this thing in second gear. We're now going picking up speed at a 45-degree angle, going like this, and the rocket's going like this. Then someone puts it in high gear. We're now going 90 miles an hour like this. The rocket's going like that. And when that thing stopped, my eyeballs were kissing each other. Now, why is it young people love things like that? The older people like things like that. When's the last time you saw a grandma, 90 years of age, and a red vet at a stop sign saying to a teenager, hey, sonny, you want to lay some rubber on the road? No, you don't find that. Now, there's a very striking statement in verse 6. You ought to underline your Bible. Look at what it says in verse 6, where the devil said to Christ, cast thyself down. That's very crucial. I'll tell you why. Look at me. The devil says to you, cast down the idea you got to go to church every Sunday. Now, you're a busy man. You're tired. Cast down the idea that you ought to read your Bible every day. You've got all the responsibilities. Hey, cast down the idea that you ought to tithe to your local church. You've got all kind of bills. Hey, cast down the idea you've got to be so strict with those teenagers. Loosen up. Give those children some breathing room. And I'm telling you what. Today, this sensationalism is destroying our local churches. It seemed like people, they just, everything are living for fun. And the devil said to Christ, if you're God's son, cast thyself down. And when he did, look how Jesus Christ responded. Please look at verse 7. In verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And that's a direct quotation from the book of Deuteronomy. And what did Jesus do? He fell back upon the authority of the Word of God and quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, when Jesus Christ did not give in to the lust of the flesh, the sensual, and he did not cave in to the lust of the eyes, which is a sensational, then third of all, look at verse 8 and 9, the third area of temptation. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou would fall down and worship me. Now look at me. The third area of temptation is the pride of life. And one word after that, the word sacrificial. I'll explain that in a moment. Look at me. I personally believe the devil saved his strongest temptation for last. Perhaps the devil reasoned and said, if Jesus will not give in to the lust of flesh, if he'll not give in to the lust of the eyes, then maybe he will fall by the very thing I fell by. What was the downfall of Satan? It was his pride. Isaiah 14, 13 through 14, for thou wast sin in thine heart, I will sin in the heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Pride was the downfall of Satan. What's the downfall of many of God's people? It's the area of pride. Something God hates. Proverbs 6, 16 through 17, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look. Jeremiah 45, 5, and seekest thou great things for thyself, seek them not. Matthew 23, 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. Proverbs 16, 18, pride goeth before destruction, and the haughty spirit before a fall. Listen to me. Pride will always sacrifice the eternal for the enjoyment of the temporal. Now, I pray I'm not speaking like anyone in this auditorium today, but could it be there's some individual today in this room, you say, I have no time for God, I have no time for Jesus Christ, I have no time for the Bible. And you say to your children, kids, stop preaching to me. And you say to your wife, honey, leave me alone. One of these days, when I get things all worked out, then maybe I'll serve God. And so one day, you have everything in order. And yet you sit home with a broken heart. Your children want nothing to do with you. Your dreams are shattered. Why? Because you sacrificed the eternal for the enjoyment of the temporal. And the devil said to Christ, you fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all these things. Wake up, child of God. Who's speaking here? I'll describe who's speaking here. John 8, 44, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. He promises you everything, but he's the father of lies. And he'll leave you destitute. He'll leave you empty. He'll leave you disgraced. He'll leave you shamed. And when the devil said to Christ, you fall down, worship me, and I'll give you all these things. Look in verse 10, how Jesus Christ responded. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Look here. What did Christ do? He came right back on. He used the authority of the Word of God to combat the temptation. Now, let me, congregation, make someone tell you something. 80% of us or higher in this room do not handle temptation correctly. How do most of you people handle temptation? Like most people in the whole country. Most of you use your logic and your reasoning and your emotions. For example, I heard a story of two little children going to go see their grandparents on Thanksgiving. When they got to grandma's house, grandma and grandpa said, "Did you kids meet any nice people on the road?" And they said, "Yes, grandma and grandpa, we met three idiots and two knotheads." Where do you think they got that from? Oh, yeah. Now, here's what happens. A lot of times you go down the road and you're driving your car and someone pulls in front of you. Now, what do, most of you? Most of you say, you know, he shouldn't have done that. And that's your logic. And then your reasoning, you say, you know what, I think that guy needs to know something about this. And so then your emotions gets involved and you lay on the horn, you know. That's the most of it. I doubt very few of you, when someone pulls in front of you that calls you to wreck, that most of you said, well, Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, no. Most of us, we use our logic and our reasoning and our emotions. For example, let me give a personal illustration. I have a real weakness I'm going to tell you about this morning, okay? When I go home, I live in South Carolina now, and I know some of you folks are trying to figure me out as I'm speaking to you with my accent, and I'll tell you about that maybe next service, okay? But I live in South Carolina right now, and we got home many years ago when Sharon said to me, "Honey, do you want me make you a German chocolate cake?" I said, "Hun, no, Sharon, don't do that to me." You say, why would you respond like that? Because when she makes a German chocolate cake, I like the three-layer job. I like that gooey stuff all on the top and thick in the middle and all the way around the side, you know. And Sharon, she'll make one that's big, and she makes it from scratch. It is heavy. It is delicious. My mouth is watering right now as I think about it, okay? And she'll make one of those things, and we'll have a piece, and then she'll put it, the cover back on it, and we will all go in our, and we'll be reading in the room, you know. And what I would do is this. I'll begin to sneak out of the room. And I'm watching, and one's watching me, and I'm sneaking, and I said to myself, as I go in the kitchen, I'm just going to smell the cake, and that's all. How many of you ever said that? Would you raise your hand with me? Good. Thank you for your honesty, all right? I said, I'm just going to smell the cake. And then I'll walk in there, and I'll pull the top off, and I'll smell it, and I'll put the top and say, no, I'm not going to eat a piece. And then I'll say this, well, Jerry, didn't you just run 8 miles a day? By the way, guys, I just ran a marathon this August 26th, okay? So I'm a runner. I've run for 30-some years. And so I said, Jerry, didn't you just run 8 miles this morning? And I'll say to myself, well, yes, I did. And then I'll say, well, if anyone can afford to eat another piece of cake, you can afford to eat another piece of cake. And I'll say, that's exactly right. And then I'm slobbering right here. And I said, I'll take another piece, and I'll take another piece like this. Now, I am not satisfied. Look at me, congregation. I am not satisfied until the whole cake is gone. You say, you got a problem. That's why I'm telling it to you. But what did I use on that cake? I used logic, reasoning, and emotions. Just like so many of you, you use your logic, your reasoning, and your emotions. And very few of you rely upon the power of the Word of God to handle your temptation. Many years ago, I had meetings in North Carolina. As a matter of fact, I've been in that church 5 different times for 5 different revival meetings. And so every time I went there, though, in this meeting in North Carolina, this lady is a Southern belle. I mean, you talk about Southern lady. She is a Southern lady. And she always made a Southern meal. You may have not have heard this kind of food. You know, I don't know, you poor people out here in Kwame may not know about hog jowls and cutters and black-eyed peas and sweetened tea and fried okra, but that's heavenly food. It really is. All right? So anyhow, I always had a Southern meal in her home. And when I walked in her house for the 5th time, When I saw her, I was shocked. I said, "Man, you have lost the weight." She said, "Brother Jerry, I've lost 65 pounds, and I've kept it off for over a year." And I said, what diet plan did you use?" And she said, "Brother Jerry, I use God's diet plan." I said, "What is God's diet plan?" And she said, "Jerry, I have used every diet plan in America. In my lifetime, I have lost 1,200 pounds. She lose 20 pounds, put on 30 pounds, lose 15 pounds, put on 10, and she battled the weight all of her life. But she said, "This time, I use God's plan." And I said, "What is God's plan?" She said, "Brother Jerry, I took Philippians 4 and verse 13 and put up my refrigerator door. I was always hungry." Sound like you? Always hungry. I would go to the refrigerator door. I would hold the door. I would read the verse over and over again. Philippians 4:13. "I could do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Philippians 4:13. "I could do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." She said, "I read it over and over until I lost my desire for food. I never opened the door." She said, "Brother Jerry, it works. It works." What was she using? She was using the Word of God to combat her battle with this area of eating. A couple years ago, I met a young teenage guy, 18 years of age. He said, "Brother Jerry, I've got a real problem." I said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, my mom and dad tell me to do something. I get so mad at my mom and dad that just the other night, I rammed my fist right through the bedroom door. I've got a real problem with my anger." He said, "What should I do?" I said, "Young man, I want you to go home and memorize Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. He said, "What does that say?" I said, "Oh, it says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." He said, "Wow, I've never heard that before." I said, "Young man, you go memorize that verse. You think upon the truth of it. And when you tend to put your fist on another door, you go to that verse and use that verse and fall back upon the Word of God." Several nights later, the young man came running down the aisle to me at the close of the service and said, "Brother Savinsky, it works. Brother Jerry, it works." I said, "What works, young man?" He says, "The Bible works." He said, "Every time I got angry, I quoted Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9, I have not put my fist through another door. It works, Brother Jerry." What was he doing, congregation? He was using the authority of God's Word to combat his temptations. The Bible tells all of us in Psalm 119, 9 through 11, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, I call thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And so what you need to realize, how you handle temptation is not by logic, reasoning, and emotion. You use the authority of God's Word. If Jesus Christ used the Word of God to combat the temptation, that's exactly what every last one of us who are saved in this room ought to do. Now, let me give you five verses right now in closing. Please take these five verses down. And I'm going to show you how this works. These are the five verses I have often used when I'm facing temptation. Okay, I'll give the reference. I'll show you how this works. Put these references down. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Romans 6 and verse 12. Number 2, Romans 6 and verse 14. Romans 6 and verse 14. Number 3, Romans 12 and verse 21. Romans 12 and verse 21. Number 4, 1 Thessalonians. Thessalonians is spelled T-H-E-S-S, period. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. The last reference, 2 Timothy, T-I-M, period, please. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. Okay, look at me now because I'll explain how this works. Here is me, and here's you. We're going through life like anyone else, and all of a sudden, there's a temptation. What do you do? Say to temptation, "Oh, wait, temptation, let me go run and get my Bible." Huh? Oh, no, you can't do that nonsense. What you've got to do, you've got to hide the Bible in your heart. You've got to memorize so when you're tempted, you have the authority of God's word to combat it. So often when I face a temptation, what I'll do, I'll quote these verses out loud. Or I'll say them to myself. Here's what they say. Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it and the lust thereof. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust. Look at me. What did I do? Instead of dwelling on the temptation, I'm now using the word of God to combat the temptation. My mind, my heart is not focusing on the word of God. You know what the Bible says in Matthew 4:11? Then the devil leaveth him. He said, Brother Jerry, I wish the devil would leave me. Then, son of God, you better use the authority of God's word. This is your key. This is how you handle temptation. And by the way, all of us face temptation every day of our lives. And I would pray that you would see the significance of this message. I tell you what, if I never preach to you again, I don't believe there's a more significant message, if you are saved, I could call to your attention than what I've just given you. That is, you use the authority of God's word to overcome your temptation. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Our Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. I pray, Lord, this message may be a tremendous help to these people and spare someone from a disgraced life because, Lord, they're always caving in to some particular temptation in their lives. May they fall back upon the word of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled How to Handle Temptation by Evangelist Jerry Savinsky. It was originally presented in October of 2006 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented in conferences and special services at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.